We now join our regularly scheduled program, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, already in progress.
Who have reached out and told me that things parents complained about that were resolved between parents and teachers, so I was not aware of. However, these things I'm finding crossover, so I want to bring these to your attention. But they're basically saying this email, don't share information with parents. Don't tell them, don't show them the curriculum and the lesson plans. Just keep this from the parents. So we're sending our kids to school, but the schools don't want the parents to know what is being shared. Okay, that is a problem. Oregon promotes teacher program that seeks to undo racism in mathematics. A toolkit includes a list of ways white supremacy culture allegedly infiltrates math classrooms. So the Oregon Department of Education recently encouraged teachers to register for training that encourages ethnomathematics and argues, among other things, that white supremacy manifests itself in the focus on finding the right answer. Now, I was never very good at math. It's just not how my brain works. I don't think that has anything to do with the color of my skin. That's just another thing we'll be talking to Elizabeth about this morning here on Catholic Connection. So much going on. And we as people have to wake up, as parents have to wake up and have these conversations. Talk to our children, talk to the educators. We have a right to speak out. And as I was talking about earlier in the last hour, and many of you might have did not hear that, but we have to come from a place that is Christ-centered and focusing on what Christ is calling us to do. And when we have these conversations that are very critical, we don't want them turning them into a crisis. We have to be Christ-centered. And we have to focus on what Christ would want us to do. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Because we can't avoid these conversations. We need to have them. But we need to resolve them in the spirit of love and charity. And not just brush them out of the rug. And not just let these people have their way and promote their agenda. We as Christians have to rise up and speak truth. So we have to come from a place that is Christ-centered when we have these kinds of conversations. So much to talk about. It is 9 minutes past the hour. I am Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo, and now it's time for the news. Forecasters say a record-breaking dangerous heat wave is bearing down on the West Coast. Michael Kastner reports from Portland, Oregon.
The National Weather Service says the heat will clamp down on California, Oregon, and Washington this weekend and early next week. What's being described as a heat wave for the ages could burn up all-time records from Southern California all the way up into Canada. Forecasters say the center of the heat wave will focus on the Pacific Northwest, where temperatures could reach 40 degrees hotter than average. Portland could crack 110 degrees.
A bipartisan group of senators in the White House are nearing a $1 trillion traditional infrastructure deal.
A small group of Democrats and Republicans negotiating a deal announced they've come to an agreement not only on what to spend, but how to pay for it. They're briefing President Biden today.
Utah Republican Mitt Romney told reporters late Wednesday both sides have agreed on a framework. The senators say the plan includes $579 billion in new spending for a total of nearly $1 trillion over 5 years. Critics say that President Biden and his plan to curtail gun violence across the country lacked passion and credibility. Mike Bauer reports.
Geraldo Rivera said on Fox News, compassion aside, where was the passion? That speech was as laid back as the program he's proposing. Independent Representative Justin Amash tweeted, there's maybe never been a president with less knowledge and worse messaging on the Second Amendment than President Biden. However, experts like Daniel Webster, the director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Prevention and Policy, said the Biden proposals to stiffen oversight of gun dealers are key. He said there's a manageable number of problematic gun dealers, licensed dealers, who really seem to have a pattern and practice of operating their businesses in ways that quickly get guns into the hands of criminals.
The White House is playing down the big 4th of July goal for getting more people vaccinated. Here's NBC's Tom Yamas.
You remember President Joe Biden set that ambitious goal to have 70% of Americans with at least one shot of the vaccine. He's not going to exactly reach that goal.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki is now saying the goal will likely be reached sometime after the upcoming holiday weekend. She also noted that 70% of U.S. adults 30 and older have received at least one vaccination shot. The CDC says it has found likely association between a rare heart condition in younger people, mostly after they received their second COVID shot, particularly men younger than age 30. Justin Harris tells the Today Show he had a hard time getting doctors to believe his son's condition.
The hospital didn't take us serious, and when they made him wait for 6 hours, and then it became 8 hours, and when my wife finally said he is having a heart attack, she said it several times. They finally put him in a room.
CDC data shows there's more than 1,200 cases of heart inflammation in young people who received Pfizer or Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. They found most cases occur within 1 week after the second dose of the vaccine, with chest pain as the most common side effect. Most cases were mild, with 79% of patients recovering fully. Firefighters are going floor by floor as they search a partially collapsed residential tower in South Florida. Rory O'Neill reports.
It's methodical work among the chaos. Firefighters are using bucket trucks to access each of the 11 stories, search the property, and then lower survivors back down to the ground. The damaged building is about 40 years old, and it's too early to speculate how this may have happened. TRTs, technical rescue teams from across Miami-Dade and Broward counties are responding, pulling survivors from the debris. The Red Cross is also at the scene, helping the survivors and the evacuees from neighboring properties.
A $100,000 reward is being offered in search for whoever shot a Florida officer in the head. Police in Daytona Beach released a body camera video of the moment it happened. It shows the officer approaching a man sitting in a car, asking if he lived in the area. The guy gets out, and after a 26-second struggle, a gunshot is heard. The officer underwent surgery last night and is now said to be in critical condition. A Louisville police officer who was put on administrative leave after praying the rosary outside a Kentucky's only abortion clinic apparently won't face any further punishment. It was initially believed the unidentified officer was protesting when he was seen in uniform while off duty outside the EMW's Women's Surgical Center in February. His lawyer said yesterday the officer had been praying with his father, was not protesting, adding any formal punishment would violate his First Amendment rights. A new poll shows more than 80% of Americans believe that freedom of religion is an important aspect of a healthy American society. The report and Summit Ministries poll released on Tuesday showed 67% of Americans surveyed said freedom of religion is very important to a healthy American society. Another 15% said it was somewhat important. Computer programmer and antivirus founder John McAfee is dead, Michael Kastner reports.
Officials in Spain say he was found yesterday in his Barcelona prison cell. They say he committed suicide. The 75-year-old was awaiting extradition to the U.S. on tax evasion charges. Shortly after his death was announced, a cryptic post appeared on McAfee's Instagram. It was simply an image of the letter Q, which many saw as a shout-out to the QAnon conspiracy theory. I'm Michael Kastner.
It is 15 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. When we come up after the break, we'll be talking with Steve Ray. Stay with us, everyone.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You know that music. That means our popular Catholic convert, pilgrimage leader, speaker, author, and apologist is joining us, Steve Ray. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Vanessa. We're on our way up north to spend a few days with family in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, that's very nice. That's exciting. We were just talking about trying to get up north ourselves here, Ronnie and I and Elena. We'll see if we can do that. But you also have a trip coming up in Florida with El Cresta, a pilgrimage. Tell us about that.
Yes, November 1 through 4, just a short one. And what's nice about this pilgrimage is there's no jet lag. Like our other ones are gone. But this was, we did this when we were grounded from going international. We took a group to St. Augustine, Florida, and it was fantastic. It was the history of the Catholic Church, Catholicism in America. That's where it all started. And it's actually called the Sacred Acre. It was ground zero for the Catholicism coming to the United States. And so we are taking a group there November 1 through 4 with Al and Sally Cresta. Janet and I are going, and it's going to be a great trip. So we're looking forward to it. We did it a couple of months ago, and it was such a success that we decided to do it again before the end of the year.
Wow.
And, so, you know, I have to say, Vanessa, I have a hard time if today I say St. Augustine. Forgive me, because when I was a Protestant, it was always St. Augustine. That's how we didn't say the saint. That's Catholic stuff. So we would just say Augustine. But then when I became Catholic, the pronunciation is Augustine, Saint Augustine. Now, when we're going back to Florida to take a group there, the name of the city is Saint Augustine, the way I used to say it as a Protestant. So I get it all mixed up. I have to stop and think. You know, my brain's getting old, and I have to stop and think every time whether I'm referring to the Catholic saint or the city in Florida.
Well, that's good to know, because I didn't know that either. So that you taught me something new today, Steve Ray, Saint Augustine, Florida. So tell us about what some misconceptions about Saint Augustine, Florida, that you're going to be sharing with your pilgrims.
Well, one thing this is all new to me. This is all new information that's being discovered in the archives in Spain. They're discovering about this voyage and the discovery of this area and the establishment of the first Catholic parish, the first community in the United States in what we call America today. So if you say to somebody, who were the first Europeans to arrive on the shores of America, you're going to hear probably one of two things. The English came to Jamestown, Virginia in 1607, right? Well, they landed and then they left. That was it. Then what about the pilgrims, right? We celebrate Thanksgiving and dress up like pilgrims and eat turkeys. And that was 1620 with William Bradford. So they're the first Europeans to come to the shores of America, correct? Wrong. That's what I was taught in school. I think all of us were taught that the pilgrims were the first ones to arrive. But what really happened is in 1565, 55 years earlier, the Spaniards came to Florida and they set up a city there called St. Augustine. And I'll tell you how it got that name. And they set that up and they built a church and the Indians converted. And they had grandchildren already before the pilgrims, Protestant pilgrims, let's say. The Catholic Spaniards already had a church and a city 55 years, or they had grandchildren before the Protestant pilgrims ever arrived at Plymouth Rock, which is something I didn't know. And interestingly enough, my wife, Janet, is the first Catholic in her family in over 400 years. There's no record of anybody being Catholic in her family, very staunchly Protestant, and coming from England and Czechoslovakia. And her family belongs to the Mayflower Society, which means that they can trace their ancestry back to people who are on the Mayflower. My wife, actually, they have this all recorded, and it's in the family tree and everything. Four different people on the Mayflower were ancestors of my wife.
Wow.
So she always thought that she was a relative of the very first people that ever came to America. And boy, did she get knocked down a few pegs on her ladder there, because she finds out now that she wasn't the first ones, that the Catholic Spaniards were here and built a church and a town 55 years before Bradford and the Pilgrims arrived.
Wow. And why aren't we being taught this in school? Why is there not accurate documentation of our history?
I think there's been an anti-Catholic bias in the country from the beginning, but I also think that it's new information, that people are just discovering it. And we met a Dr. Mary Soha down there. She's going to be giving a talk to our group when we go down in November. She's an expert on this part of our country and its history and these Spaniards that first came. Unlike other places, they rented land from the Indians. They didn't come over here as landlords and take over and kill them and enslave them. They treated them as equals. They taught them the language. They set up schools. They set up a church. And they came over with the idea of converting them to Christianity, but not subjugating them to European ways of life. And so that's where they came. Now, there's a really good movie, and believe it or not, it's by PBS. And it surprised me, but Al Cresta was actually the one that first made me aware of this. It's a PBS documentary entitled America's Untold Story. I would recommend everybody finding that on the internet or on, you know, the TVs, the way they work today. You can get all kinds of things. And look up a PBS documentary, America's Untold Story, and they do a beautiful job of explaining the discovery of America by these Spaniards. And I'm just going to read to you a quote from the priest who came over, who was the first one over. Now, what happened is that it's called St. Augustine. See, I said it right, Vanessa. I said it right. That it's called St. Augustine because they arrived on the feast day of St. Augustine.
Oh,
that
okay.
was August 28th, 1565. They arrived on the feast day of St. Augustine, but they wanted to wait a week until September 8th. They didn't want to actually come ashore until it was the feast day of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So arriving on August 8th, the feast day of St. Augustine, they waited. They named the city that. But they came ashore on September 8th, and they dedicated it. And their first Marian shrine is also there, called La Leche, the milk, Mary's the milk of Mary. And that comes from the milk grotto in Bethlehem, of course. It's tied to that shrine in Bethlehem. But here's what the priest said when they landed. The Spanish ships, sailors, soldiers, tradesmen, priests all came ashore. Father Francesco Lopez de Mendoza Gojales recorded the day's events in his diary. This is what he wrote. And they've just discovered this, by the way. They're just discovering all these documents in these archives in some ancient libraries in Spain. It says, on Saturday, the 8th of August, the general landed with many banners spread to the sound of trumpets and the salutes of artillery. As I had gone ashore the evening before, I took the cross and went to meet him. And I think we better stop.
Yeah, we got to stop. Let's finish this after the break. You heard the music. We have a hard break. We'll come back with Steve Ray after this. Stay with us, everyone.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We are continuing here on Catholic Connection, talking with Steve Ray with a pilgrimage coming up to St. Augustine, Florida with El Cresta. So we're continuing, Steve. You were giving a quote and telling us about the landing there.
Yes, they landed. They came to the shore on the Feast of St. Augustine on August 28th, but they actually came ashore on September 8th. They wanted to wait until the Nativity of Mary to devote it to them. Now, normally what you do when somebody would come like this from Spain is to plant the Spanish flag. That would be the first thing you do. That's claiming the land for Spain. But that's not what happened here. Listen to this. So I'll start again at the beginning. On Saturday the 8th, the general landed with many banners spread to the sound of trumpets and the salutes of artillery. As I had gone ashore the evening before, and this is Father Menendez, the priest who had gone ashore earlier, as I had gone ashore the evening before, I took a cross and I went out to meet the general and the people coming in from the boat, singing the hymn, Te Deum Laudamus. The general, followed by all who accompanied him, marched up to the cross before they planted the flag. They knelt and they kissed the cross first. A large number of Indians watched these proceedings and imitated all that they saw done, also coming up to kiss the cross. Now, today on the sacred acre, where this site is, there's a cross, I think it's 200 feet tall. They were going to make it taller, except that the rules of aviation, if they made it any taller, they had to put lights on top of it so airplanes wouldn't crash into it. But they did make it as tall as they could without having to put tacky lights on it. So that's there. And then the sacred acre, also when they came ashore, they celebrated Mass, an outdoor Mass under the stars, under the sky, and that's what we do on that sacred acre, too, after we discuss and talk about the history and see the museum and all that happened in there coming ashore. We also have Mass at the same place outside, and there's arguments about where the first Mass was ever celebrated in America. Some say it's Ponce de Leon over on the other side of Florida, but it would have just been a quick Mass, and then they got back on their ships after they didn't stay. But what we do know is this is the first parish Mass. So they came ashore, put the cross down, they started a parish, and that was the first parish Mass ever celebrated in America. And we're going to have Mass there, and what we do is kind of cool. We renew our baptismal vows there. And aww, we renew our vows at that altar to remember all of the Native Americans that were baptized, and they became quite educated, and they taught catechism, and they taught languages, these Native Indians did. And so it's just a fantastic trip, and we've got great hotels and good food, too. And it's not a long trip. It's affordable for people who maybe can't go to Israel or Rome or something. This is a very nice one. There's going to be a bunch of good Catholics with us, and Al and I are going to give talks along the way. I think we have Father Frank Pavone's going to come and celebrate Mass for us and give a talk and have dinner with us one night. And there's no jet lag. Isn't that lovely?
So give us the details. Give us the details of how to register.
Okay. It's November 1 through 4 this year. And you can call Corporate Travel. I can give that phone number out. It's 866 857-2364. It'll answer Footprints of God pilgrimages, because that's my line with them. Also, the best way probably, and do it online, is go right to my website, catholicconvert.com. Big pilgrimage banner on top. Click that. It'll take you right to the homepage there. You can go to the St. Augustine, Florida pilgrimage. You can register right online, learn about it. You can see the whole itinerary and pictures, and I have an interactive map that people can see. And that's how they can learn all about it. CatholicConvert.com, and go to the pilgrimage link at the top. And so I think it'll fill up fast, especially with Father Pavone coming. Oh, by the way, I have a great military chaplain priest. His name is Father Kevin Peake from down there. He came on our first one, and everybody loved this guy. Every time you talk to him, he says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." And he's military. But boy, is he a marvelous priest, very devout and fun at the same time. So we're going to have the best of everything there. I think the weather will be great. 4 days of good food, wine, good hotels, and it's going to be a great time. Now, just so you'll know, we also have our trip, first time out of the country, going on pilgrimage with a group. We have a sold-out bus going to Israel in September. So if you want to go on that, call in and get your name on a waiting list, because the bus is already sold out with 52 people. But, you know, in case somebody drops out for one reason or another, call and see if you want. But we also have trips going in November and over the Christmas break. We also have a trip going to Lourdes and Fatima the first half of September. And that one's going for sure. And we just got all the clearance for it, and we're excited. We have a few seats left on that one. We don't on the Israel trip in September, but we do have some seats left for the Lourdes and Fatima. We're starting in Lisbon, Portugal. We're going to drive up to Fatima, stay there. Then we're going to drive north through Spain, Santiago de Compostela, a bunch of other places, Loyola, have mass at all these wonderful sites. And then on our way up to 3 days at Lourdes we'll spend. So that's coming up in September, three Israel trips. And we also have a St. Paul cruise. We're going to be doing St. Paul cruise in October. 10 biblical sites all through Turkey and Greece. So we're back in the air, Vanessa.
Yeah, this is awesome. And what are the protocols in terms of COVID? Like who's requiring vaccines, who's not, that kind of thing?
It's still up in the air. There's still a lot of fluctuation. Europe mostly has said only a negative test. But each country has the freedom to do kind of what they want a little bit. But it looks like right now it's just the negative test to go in there. Israel is requiring a vaccine right now, but we're hoping that that'll drop away soon enough. Once people come in there, almost everybody in Israel is vaccinated. They bought 8.5 million doses. And from what I understand, it's close to 90% of everybody there. So once this whole, you know, new cases drops off, I'm sure that Israel's not going to keep requiring that for long. Yeah. I'm hoping so, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm hoping too.
It's fluid.
Because I was telling you on the break that I have 15 couples, including Ronnie and I, that want to do a pilgrimage with you to the Holy Land, and half of them are vaccinated and the other half are not. So we're going to have to wait and see how that goes, because there's a bunch of them that want to all go together. We might be able to even fill a bus.
Going. We got three trips going this year and seven trips going next year to Israel. So,
wow.
And also next year is the Saints and Shrines of Italy. I'm doing with Teresa. Teresa and I are doing it. We're going to start in the north and work our way following all the major saints and shrines all the way through Italy down to Rome. That's one of our most popular trips. So, and Oberammergau, too. We got two of those going next year. So we're back in the air. It's kind of fun to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, this must be so exciting for you, Steve, after what we've been through the last 18 months.
Yep. It's been a nice rest for us. Janet and I didn't realize how tired we were, because we put on 200,000 miles a year and flying. And we were away more than we're at home. So it was a kind of a blessed year. I finished my book on Genesis. I did a lot of different things that I'd wanted to do. And now we're rested up and ready to go again.
Amen. So give us your website out one more time before we let you go, Steve Ray.
Okay. CatholicConvert.com.
Catholic
and
convert.
You've got to find all our pilgrimages. Yep. And for those who don't have money or time to go on a pilgrimage, go to past pilgrimages on that site, and you can watch videos of all of our trips for the last 10 years.
Steve Ray, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for being with us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you, Vanessa. God bless you and everybody listening.
God bless you and all the work that you do. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation coming up after the break as Elizabeth Schultz, Senior Fellow at Parents Defending Education. We'll be right back.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me. Physicists are looking for a theory of everything that would unite all the laws and forces of the universe. But when we talk about how the universe is run by laws, we equivocate, for there are two kinds. There are the physical laws that we call natural laws. These describe what is, and people generally don't have a choice but to obey them. On the other hand, laws that govern human behavior are called moral laws, the oughts and the ought-nots from which people pick and choose. Now, while stealing is an ought not, the consequences of stealing often fall under what is. And while gravity describes what is, ignoring it is an ought not. Do you suppose such laws have something to do with the theory of everything scientists search for? While we don't understand everything, be assured God does. At AveMariaRadio.net under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in just for the day here for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back in our host chair tomorrow. So much to talk about with Elizabeth Schultz, Senior Fellow at Parents Defending Education. Elizabeth, there's so many articles out there. I've read, the headlines of a few of them as I was talking about the show this morning. I don't even know where to start with you because there's so much out there. And I want to get to a story about a 9-year-old I was telling you off the air. But let's first start with the articles that you kind of sent our way in terms of what's going on in the school district. Basically, let's start with the one about the nation's largest teachers union choosing to indoctrination over education.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate when you have what is ostensibly supposed to be, something for teachers about professional development and promoting good teaching really becoming an arm of a political party. And when the National Education Association, the NEA, and the local state versions of the same work with the CDC behind the scenes to keep schools closed. You know, this is the one side of the pandemic. You got to look for the silver lining or where the blessings occur for us as parents. And that is that the curtain has been pulled back on what is happening in education. You know, why is it that they were promoting, an effort to keep schools closed? Or why is it that, they are working to embed critical race theory? You know, the poll that Parents Defending Ed took said that, parents, across the spectrum oppose the introduction of discriminatory policies in our schools, that they want schools open, that they want their children in a classroom, but not with a teacher that's going to indoctrinate them, but rather educate them in our founding documents and give them an unbiased set of information, whether it's in math, literature, or otherwise.
So what was the agenda behind keeping schools closed for parents listening this morning? What was their end game?
Well, I mean, I think that if you can teach from home instead of teaching in the classroom, certainly that's the leverage. But ultimately, when you see the amount of money that was distributed through the CARES Act, you know, that's flowing into school districts across the country, and you're going to get compensation for teachers. You're going to get raises. You're going to get union payback for a new administration. And it's grievously sad that we are seeing things like Amazon in Arlington Public Schools being asked for materials on critical race theory and books by critical race theorists to mm-hmm. distribute to children instead of technology, instead of materials that would help close the gap that was created by these forced lockdowns in the first place. So we're going to distribute to you materials that further an agenda when Amazon actually reached out and said, hey, look, we do have a mission of supporting education. And they were offering technology, and instead it's like, no, we want a speech by a critical race theorist. This is truly tragic.
This is crazy.
The hucksters selling critical race theory are selling their wares, and parents are stuck with the tab, but it's kids who are going to pay the price.
Yeah. And we're further segregating this country. We're starting at a younger and younger age. I mean, we have known for years, decades now, that kids are being indoctrinated in college. And that's been happening for a long time. And now it's happening, as you know, in early elementary school. And that just further dividing our country with the same story that you shared with me, where a school district is racially segregating healing space, explicitly excluding white students.
And I've seen myself as a Catholic mom, as a former Fairfax County School Board member, one of the largest school districts in the nation, a former U.S. Department of Education official. My children range in age from, 26, I have three adult children, all the way down to a middle school age child. And the change in education just from my oldest child to my youngest child is astounding. The advancement of ideology at the school board level, at the administration level, and at the individual teacher level. And it's not all teachers, because remember, not only are we seeing this kind of compelled speech by students and the cudgeling of the First Amendment rights of students and of parental rights, but also for good teachers, good staff members who have, conscientious objection to this, but are being forced through professional development that drives these ideologies at the teacher level as well. So there is a landscape that has wholesale changed in just one generation of my own children. And Catholic parents, Christian parents, parents who hold dear their religious liberty have to be on guard, because it isn't just happening in the public schools. This has swept like a fire through all forms of education, including Catholic and private education.
And speaking of teachers, you have Rockwood School District teachers receiving an email telling them to hide lesson materials and assignments from parents. So they're being forced at the higher level to disseminate information only the school district wants out.
We are seeing for sure the placement of school officials between parents and children. Several years ago, for example, Delaware floated a piece of legislation that would say that if a student wants to be called by a different pronoun or be identified differently as a gender, that the school would stand between and not inform parents, and that they would be the determining factor whether or not the parents would be supportive of the child. That was years ago. Something that we dealt with in Fairfax County, and now it's de rigueur in school district after school district. So whether it's hiding an individual lesson, whether it's asking children in class whether or not, their parents, support them, this is what you see is advancing Marxism. This is a march to communism. This is the intent to suppress the nuclear family and to reduce the role of a parent in child life and inflate and conflate the fact that a teacher or a school board has that role. That's substituting government for family, and that's mm-hmm. where we are.
Well, we're also having kids being, they were promoting kids being able to have an abortion without the consent of a parent, too. I mean, this is just, it's going on and on.
The embedding of of Planned Parenthood in schools, mm-hmm. particularly in California, we see. Mm-hmm. And parents simply don't know. There is an effort to reduce transparency at all levels. You know,
yeah.
I was at a Loudoun school board meeting just the other night, the one that erupted and is on national news. And the fact that the school board walked out on hundreds and hundreds of parents and shut down a public meeting to silence their critics because there were too many critics, you know, four or five to one opposed to what the school board was doing. And they simply walked away from their duty. And what that does is that pulls the rug out from underneath the parent and the taxpayer voice and saying, we know better than you. And that is why this movement, this notion about what has happened during the pandemic, peeled back the curtain, and parents have become aware and said, we are going to reclaim our parental rights. We are going to reclaim
yeah.
religious liberty. It is our job to teach our children values. And we don't want you teaching our children hate. And we don't want our children to be identified by their race, by their color, by their ethnicity, but rather we want you to teach them the fundamentals and promote meritocracy and individual liberty and their own work in academic endeavors, not otherwise.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue this conversation with you, Elizabeth. I want to talk more about what else we could do as parents and coming from a Christ-centered approach, the way we communicate, because so much has escalated into a crisis in this country. And that, to your point, we challenge them and they walk away because they can't handle the truth. We're talking with Elizabeth Schultz this morning here on Catholic Connection, Senior Fellow at Parents Defending Education. We'll continue our conversation with her after the break. Stay with us, everyone.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Now, on the Ave Maria radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ is the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicCare.com.
We're talking with Elizabeth Schultz, Senior Fellow at Parents Defending Education. She served as the U.S. Department of Education's Deputy Director of the Office of Educational Technology, was twice elected to serve on Fairfax County School Board, the nation's 10th largest school system. She's an education and public policy expert, former senior contracts and negotiation manager for 25 plus years of experience in the areas of asset management, information technology, and K through 12 education. She's the mother of four sons, ranging the age of college graduate to middle school. Elizabeth, so much going on, and we are talking about parents standing up against what school boards across America are doing. You were at a recent school board meeting where parents really stood up, and the school board just walked out, which is unbelievable because it takes the voice away from the parents. And now you have kind of like a dictatorship type of approach to governing instead of the people.
Well, I feel like we, as Catholic parents, as Christian parents, we have to be on guard. We are made in the likeness and image of God, all mm-hmm. of us, every color, every ethnicity. And what is happening in education? And this is from pre-K, you know, not just K-12, pre-K through, all the way through higher ed, is we are being told that our children are, you know, oppressors or oppressed, minoritized or the oppressors. And that is absolutely flies in the face of what we know to be true, truth with a capital T. And by looking at these leaders and not challenging them, not going to those school boards, not writing to your members, we are defaulting and allowing their voice to fill the air. And instead, I think across the country, it is incumbent upon us from a position of faith to stand firmly, you know, as with rods of steel in our spine to say, you are no longer in charge. We are in charge. That is how the organization chart works, is the people are first. That is how this nation was founded 245 years ago next week. You know, we celebrated throwing off tyranny, throwing off that dictatorship. And it's time that there is an education revolution and that we fight harder for our children on our side than they are willing to fight to keep and destroy them.
Yeah. You know, Elizabeth, I was telling you offline, and I know you didn't see this article, but I wanted to share this with you real quick. Newsweek is reporting a 9-year-old girl who goes after the school board over a Black Lives Matter poster in her school because of this. The 9-year-old student in Minneapolis was seen taking on the school board in a viral video for images of Black Lives Matter Amanda Gorman poster on the walls. And the girl, known as Novelly, spoke at the Lakeville Area School Board meeting in Lakeville, Minnesota, just 30 minutes outside of the city where George Floyd was killed over a year ago. And she was walking down the hallway, she said, at the Lakeville school to give a teacher a retiring gift. And she said that in the meeting on June 8th, I looked up at the wall and saw the Black Lives Matter poster and Amanda Gorman poster. Of course, this is the woman, the girl who did a poem at Biden's inauguration. And she took on the school board saying, hey, this violated your own rules that you said just a few weeks earlier, 2 weeks earlier, that we can't have anything political in our school, and this is political. So she took this up with the principal, and the principal said the poster's not coming down. It actually was put up by the school board.
here you have yet another school board who is willing to violate, you know, rules. It's rules for thee, not for me.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's masks or they have secret Facebook groups where they talk about people behind the parents behind their back, like they did in Loudoun, and violating their open meetings laws. It what you see is an exemplar, and it's so obvious, it's so patently clear that a 9-year-old child can perceive truth. You know, come to me like the little children. So what is it that says to parents who may be afraid? They're afraid to put their name on. They're afraid to stand before a school board and potentially be bullied by a school board member or have their name put out publicly. But if a 9-year-old child can do it, then we can do it. And
yeah.
That's the call to everyone within your voice, to say that it is time to take a stand, because these are the jewels in our crown. And there's nothing, if you won't fight for your children, if you won't fight for their education, which really is the front line of the culture war, this is where the dividing line is between saving our culture and saving our nation. If we can't infuse our children with truth, with an education that is meaningful, that is based on meritocracy and academic excellence instead of indoctrination, then what is worth fighting for?
Amen to that. Elizabeth Schultz, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection, Senior Fellow at Parents Defending Education. Elizabeth, great to talk with you.
Super. And for parents who are looking for resources, we have created a lot of resources on defendinged.org, and parents can go there and look for resources to help them.
Thank you. DefendingEd.org. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us, and thanks for tuning in. Teresa back on her host chair tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.